This is part of the last message that Jesus had for his disciples before he left to go to the cross. And oftentimes, last words are very important, always very important. So the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart for the church is that we love one another as he has loved us. All right, so we are thankful that we can be reminded of all the people that are here today. Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll dive in and learn what God has for us today. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the manifestation of your love, Lord, at Calvary. Oh, Lord, we know it was judgment on sin. It was your vindication of your righteousness and your holiness against sin that so destroyed the entire world. Sin that destroyed every human heart, robbed it of its purity, and then, Lord, condemned it to hell. But yet, Lord, in your love, you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross so that sin, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can be washed away. And then, Lord, you tell us, even as we are now Christians, to then use the same love that we might be able to love one another. Lord, we pray that we will fulfill this desire of your heart. For we know love, Lord, is the glue that keeps the local church together. Father, we ask you to help us fulfill this so that we can honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the people that have gathered. We thank you for the week. We thank you for the blessings of the week. We thank you for the trials of the week. We thank you for the different things that we have to go through, but yet your grace was there to give us the strength and the mercies, Lord, too, and the wisdom to take each step, make each decision. We thank you for those who may have injured themselves, those who were sick, and yet, Lord, are able to rise up again. I pray and thank you once again for the strength. Because, Lord, in this world, we are faced with so many temptations. But we thank you that you are always with us, according to your word, according to your promise, that you will be with us even until the end of this world. Lord, we thank you for the gathering of your people. We thank you for friends and visitors. We thank you that you have brought us together once again to learn your word, to praise you, to learn from your precious word, that thy Holy Spirit may touch us in a special way. Lord, you mentioned in 2 Corinthians 3 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We thank you for the new friends, Lord, in the Sunday school, in the children's Sunday school, they have come. And they are so eager to come, Lord, to hear your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch these children. That, Father, they will grow up with a sense of love in their hearts, Lord. Some of them are church with family backgrounds, they are not good. I pray that your love would overwhelm them, that they might realize how much you love them. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do as we learn your precious word in this Sunday Bible hour, that we will learn the example of Priscilla and Aquila. Help us, Father, to imitate their example of how, Lord, they were willing to serve you, even at the expense of many things. Teach us, help us to be servants of Christ. Pray you bless everyone listening to this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, thank God for the... Yeah, we do have some children. I think some of the children was knocking on Brother Joshua Poon's door in the morning, so they came early today. So they're upstairs. One of them brought a friend. Okay, I think all three of them are not safe, but thank God. God is still being using children to bring children. And we have about 45, I think, for our children's outing. It's children bringing children, bringing children. So if you do have some time on the 4th of October on Children's Day... most of us are more than children, but yet if we can be a blessing, perhaps lead some children to Christ. I can tell you many of them, not many of them, or at least some of them, probably 30-40% of them, do come from disadvantaged family backgrounds. So, but if Jesus brings them here, then we've got to do something about that. Amen? As Christians, we need to show His love. All right. So the book of Acts, okay, today we're going to look at help us to the ministry of God in the local church in our Sunday Bible hour. Feel free to ask questions. The example of Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, we're doing a little bit of character study, and so that we can actually imitate some of the examples of the Bible. Alright, Acts chapter 18, which we will park most of the time, but we will go to other passages as well. Okay, help us to the ministry of God in local church. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to verse number 3. We'll just read together, right, as a background, and after that we'll just interact a little bit with some interjection from people and some contribution. Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. Okay, let's all read, let's all stand, all right? Just read the three verses in reverence to God's word. Just read. Okay, let's read all the three verses together so that we get a sense. Okay, ready? One, two, go. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupations they were tent makers. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, as you're sitting down, I just want to, before we go into this, how many of you, okay, I'll just share a little bit of background so you have understanding. How many of you actually have in your mind some Christian was to you a model for Christian service? Okay, for myself, I had a pastor in Australia. He's a very straight man, okay? Straight. Straight meaning literally straight. He walks about, he's literally a very upright straight man. And he would talk, he would preach. He's quite tall, 1.8. And so it was really straight. And he was someone whom he came in as an interim pastor to the church I was at. And so he had some of the pastor things were strange, okay? Strange. But if you really know him personally, he was a missionary to Papua New Guinea for 7 years. Okay, he and his wife Melody, okay, they had 3 children: Benjamin, Silas, and Timothy. So he was in the ministry in Papua New Guinea for 7 years. Okay, they contracted malaria 12 times because they were in the jungles. They were not in the main town, Toro. I can't remember the capital, but they were in the. And they would actually literally cut trails through the jungle and they actually established churches in there. He wrote the New Testament, not wrote, he translated the New Testament into the Pidgin language. Okay? Based on the Texas Receptor. So another friend was there as well together. But after 7 years of malaria, they felt the Lord wanted them to move out. And now he's actually pastoring in Perth, Australia, which is the north part of Perth. And the encouraging thing is, when I was there studying in Australia and I was looking at his life, every day his children, they're all homeschooled, okay? Every day his children will go out to the courtyard, because in Australia they have houses and they have their courtyard at the back. Every day the children will go out and collect eggs from the chickens, okay? They will plant their own vegetables. Now, they're not, don't think of them like backpack work, but they wanted to kind of encourage our economy, all right? Work, and different children had different responsibilities. And one of the things, when I was there with them and going to church, and there was one time when it's time to go to church, and the pastor said, "Okay, guys, let's go." And then all the children will run out in different directions. Some will close the door, some will close. And it was something which was really a blessing to watch, all right? And he would fast. Sometimes he will go on a fast for 3 days, and he would fast and he just drink soup just for Christian discipline for himself. But he would complain a bit and say, "You know, it's really hard to just drink soup for 3 days, and soup means nothing inside, just water, but flavored soup." So that he would practice denying his flesh. Okay, and he was a pastor who dealt with sin seriously. He was a pastor who there was one time. It was really, for me as a young, I won't say a young believer, but a believer about 10 years, his little boy about 6 years old was kind of messing up the table. You know, you actually have to, visitor's table with the tracks and stuff. He was kind of taking things and his pastor said, "Silas, stop that!" You know, he was like, a few minutes later he said, "Silas, I'm sorry for shouting at you." It's like, to me, I was just standing there watching him. And he was apologizing to his son. I mean, there were not many people, myself and a few of my friends. And he didn't even know we were there. He said, "Tell them, I'm sorry for shouting at you, but son, you need to." It's like, to me, he was the one who shared with me that if anything happens to his children, he's still going to serve the Lord somewhere. He's not going to leave the Lord because God has not done him any harm. So, he was a model of Christian. So he's, and sometimes when I have difficulties, I still email him. And he is a good, I'll just say father, he's not my father, but he's a good Christian, and he has helped me. He was the one who also put together the Baptist history. Remember the one I think I taught in Telopo when we were there? He was the one who put together, in his study, I think a few years, he put together century by century the history of the Baptists. okay, which I taught from as well. And so he was a very disciplined man. At last I heard, all three of his children are on the mission field. That was a great encouragement to me. I'm communicating with Ben, Charles, who is actually now Ben has gone back to where his father left and went back there to be a missionary. Okay, and lots of trouble that he had. But you know what? He says, if there's no trouble, then what's Christian service? You know, so they're back. And they're not in this kind of nice place. You know, it's mud and you got to drive 2 hours over muddy tracks just to get to their village. And they have to deal with the authorities, they're unreasonable and trying to get money from them. It's all kinds of. The wife also, I think, is it a miscarriage? Or she had some illness, was very, very bad, and got to go back to the States, go to Australia. And one thing that touched me also by the son, when the wife was in all these difficulties, and many of the American churches say, go back, go and recuperate. The wife says, no, God called us there, we need to go back there. So they went back there. Of course, they tried to get medical treatment in Australia so that she can actually go back there. I think she suffered from, I can't remember what, fatigue or something, which was very, very bad. But they're still in the field. So thank God for Christian workers like this. Okay? So I'm sure perhaps in your mind there may be some of these people that have challenged you to stay where you are to serve. And today we're going to look at Priscilla and Aquila. Normal folk, normal working class people. But yet, the things they went through the scriptures, we see. Hopefully, we can learn from them, okay? Does anyone have any, perhaps, any sharing of someone that you know and encourage you in your life? Anyone? Or at least, do you have in your mind now that comes straight to your mind? Would you have? No. Like it or not, all of us have someone at one point in our life that we look up to. And that was like the encouragement for our encouragement when everything else fails. When you look at the brother, the sister, whoever was the one who picked me up, and they may not even do anything, they just was living their Christian life. And someone saw, and it was because of that, the other person said, hey, if that brother can do it, I believe God can take me through as well. Okay? So we do need examples. In Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me, Paul says, even as I follow Christ. Okay? And let's all follow Christ so someone else can actually see our example and be encouraged. I believe one thing, and I hope it was always remembered, you could be the best Christian someone else knows. You can be the best Christian someone else knows. But no, Brother Johnny, I'm just 1 year as a Christian. Yeah, you can still be the best Christian. Maybe a non-believer knows. Does this person still go to church? This person still read the Bible? All right? So just want to drop that in. Okay. So just by way of introduction, for this Sunday's Bible hour, not much is said about Priscilla and Aquila, but what is revealed in the Bible teaches us many important truths about how we can be Christian workers for Christ, okay? So, we want to learn a few things. We just go through the verses, just point out, and then just interact, all right? If you're not too sure, just ask questions. Let's look at Acts chapter 18, verse 1. So, we want to look at eight things we can learn from the life of Priscilla and Aquila, how we can be helpers to the ministry of God in the local church. All right, in verse number 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Now, as we read them, Claudius just kind of tell them to go, don't get lost. I don't want you here, just get out of Rome. Okay, the first lesson we learn from their life, they were persecuted and they were driven from their hometown, from where they were. Okay, they were persecuted and they were driven from Rome. The lesson we can learn there is we need to learn, as we serve God, to go through difficulties and inconveniences for the cause of Christ. Okay? If you think of the Christians, they are going through a lot of problems in the Middle East now. Many of them have had to flee their hometown. They have to get and go. Okay, if you don't, if they found you're Christian, the Muslim extremists might just give it to you, or cut your throat or something like that. And sometimes you're forced to flee. Let's turn to two passages, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Remember, Christian, as you serve God, we will go through inconveniences. We will go through in Singapore, there's no persecution. Big time, okay? Persecution, there's a difference between opposition and persecution. You know what's the difference? Opposition is when people maybe slam the door in your face, they oppose you when they tell. Persecution is when they grab you, tie your hands, dig out your eyes, cut your nose off, slit your throat, and want the life of your family and your in-laws and your outlaws and everyone else. Okay? That's persecution. You know, many Christians actually go through that in different places of the world. But in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, those who truly live, let's read together. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. Ready? 1, 2, go. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay? We may not suffer the type of so-called persecution in Singapore, but if you generally stand for truth along the lines, you will probably face up opposition because Satan is not going to let you go. Okay? But the key thing is when you're doing the right thing, ask God for His strength and grace to stand firm. Alright? Okay, any questions? Is it true that as Christians, we will all definitely at some time or another go through trials and persecution? The Bible says yes. Jesus says, John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. When Jesus talked about tribulation to his disciples, he's literally talking about persecution. Because if you read John chapter 14, 15, 16, Jesus was preparing his disciples to take over his mission when he goes back to heaven. And say, you guys are going to go through tribulation, but be of good cheer, be joyful, be cheerful in your heart. I have overcome the world. All right? Turn to another verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. This is something which the truth that probably Priscilla and Aquila have learned. You know, they were taken away from where they are. They were born in Pontus. Remember Italy, Rome is the capital of Italy. Okay, and so they were driven from their hometown. And when you're driven from your hometown, a lot of things get lost. Okay, and for them it was because they were Christians. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, Hebrews 10, 34, what does the verse mean if you are there? Hebrews 10, 34. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. What does that verse mean? There's two parts to that. Firstly, Paul says, you had compassion on me. So Paul was saying, Hebrew Christians, you actually took pity on me when I was in prison. Right? But the second part, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? They took joyfully when the people came in, they took away their things. They said, that's part and parcel of the Christian life. You know, I will lose things, all right, for the cause of Christ. Yeah. And you know, in those days, when you're associated with a preacher, you get it as well, generally. Okay? After get a preacher, you'll get everyone down the road. Okay? So here, Aquila and Priscilla have learned a very important principle that sometimes in serving the Lord, we may have to go through things taken away from us. It may not be physical things. It may be our possessions. It may be our time. It may be sometimes even things which you hold very dearly to. Like our own convenience. Sometimes even our families. Okay? So, service to the Lord is never easy. Many of us will testify to that. Those of us who truly have served God, at one time or another, you realize, wow, the moment I say I want to serve God, multiple problems come in. But are we willing to endure the hardship for the sake of Christ? Okay? Aquila and Priscilla learned that. They were persecuted, driven from Rome. Okay? And the next point, any questions? The first one? On that? Just feel free to just put a hand and say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand that, or clarify some of the thoughts may go through in your mind. Point number two, Acts chapter 18, verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, okay, tent makers, he abode with them and wrought. Okay, he abode with them is the key point for point number two. Aquila and Priscilla was hospitable to Paul. He abode with them. Okay? Can you see that there? Aquila and Priscilla basically took Paul in. Okay? He took Paul in, he abode with them. We need to be kind and hospitable to fellow servants of Christ. Okay? Allowing people to stay at your home is a good way to show kindness to fellow believers. I'm sure all of us have homes, right? Amen? Alright, all of us have homes, yes? Okay, you don't have a bill of tent in some one park or something like that. But you know, sometimes there may be, what about underprivileged children? Okay? Underprivileged children. What about people who may not have much in this world? Are we willing to allow them? Maybe buy food for them, etc. Okay? We are to be hospitable to fellow believers. Okay? This is one way of showing love to fellow. So they were hospitable. Okay? They were persecuted. They were hospitable to the servant of God. Okay? How you can actually serve the Lord is when you see fellow servants of Christ. And by the way, we're all fellow servants of Christ, each in different positions. Okay, some given authority, some are still just felt we ought to be showing love and kindness to one another. Do you know that's a biblical command? Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. And verse number 13. Let's read together. It's a biblical instruction. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. This is not, I know a pastor is supposed to be given to hospitality. That's in 1 Timothy 3. But Paul was writing generally to the church in Rome. Okay, I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, but talking about the Christian church that was existing in Rome. Okay, he's saying, you are to distribute to the necessity of the saints, and you are to be given to hospitality. Alright? As Christians, our job is to open our hearts and our homes to whoever that needs. Okay? So, this is one way of showing, of literally, of ministry. Okay? And what if the local church needs a place for an outreach? You know, one of the things that we have many, many unsaved people coming from Choa Chu Kang. Okay, let's say if we have a member there, would a member be willing to open his house so there can be an outreach Sunday school, for example, or a weekly outreach, kind of like what we have here in the LAMS program, whereby we use, thank God, Brother Joshua's home on every Thursday, so that the children can come. And maybe some of us should just sit in to the LAMS program and see the things we have to deal with. And you realize that these children actually need Christ above all. Because if you just look at the prognosis of their life, if they continue this way, they're gonna see very bad times. Unless we are willing to give up things so that these children can actually come to Christ. Sometimes they basically have no idea who Jesus is, they don't care. Alright, even during prayer just now, they just open their eyes and laughing. Yeah, they're young, about 8 years old, 9 years old. They may not have. But God has called us to bring up these children so that the church becomes their surrogate parents, if you know what I mean. We actually watch over them with spiritual watch care. And hopefully, if they keep coming, the parents let them keep coming, that they actually, through the local church, can have a spiritual foundation. And next time, many years later, they get saved, they can look back to the time someone cared enough to open their house. Someone cared enough to minister to them. Okay? Aquila and Priscilla was willing to allow Paul to stay with them, showing kindness and hospitality. Any questions? Point number three, just one word in Acts chapter 18, verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, Paul was also a tent maker. Aquila and Priscilla were also tent makers. He abode with them and wrought. The word wrought is interesting because if you study the word wrought, it means to labor for. To labor for. You know what that means? That means Aquila and Priscilla, they were tent makers. Come on, they have a business. We realize that Paul was also a tent maker. Stay with them. Okay, Paul, you work with us and we will pay you to support you in the ministry as well. Okay, point number three, they paid Paul for the tent making work he did while he lodged there as a means of supporting him. Okay, that could be an application of the passage, but the Bible says he wrote, so basically Crispus and Priscus actually paid Paul as he was doing the tent work as well, so that he can continue to support himself. If you look at the life of Paul, he never received support for any of the churches except the church of Philippi. Okay? But they were the church who loved Paul so much. They would give and give. And Paul says, okay, he didn't want to receive support from anyone else because he didn't want to put him as a burden to the churches, because they were all young churches. And many of the churches were poor as well. So he didn't want anything from them, but only from the church of Philippi. But here, Aquila and Priscilla was personally supporting Paul as he was serving. Because otherwise, Paul had no means of support. All right? Okay? They allowed Paul to help them in tent making, and they paid them. Okay? So we need to learn to support generously the servant of Christ, those who are called and ordained to the ministry. Okay? They didn't allow money to cause a fight, but they gave generously to help a worker of Christ. Okay? So we can also do that. Okay? We do have missionaries coming through. Some of the missionaries actually have quite significant needs. Maybe this will be a good time for us to just think through, because maybe as a church, the church, Maranatha Baptist Church in Agala, actually is overflowing, meaning there's a lot of people coming in and they find they do not have enough space, and they are praying about putting another level on the church there in the Philippines, alright, so that they can actually have at least space for 50 more people, okay, to come in. And I was speaking to Pastor John Sumatra, which is Jason Sumatra's son, whether or not. I didn't tell him anything, but perhaps the church would consider actually giving them a love offering of some sort, so that they can actually, not the whole thing, they need half a million pesos, I think. How much is that in Singapore? Half a million pesos? 20,000? Times. Okay? Divided by about 15,000. Okay, we can pray about that. We do have some in the mission fund, whether or not as a church we would actually support that. Most of the members have no jobs. But you know what? They've already raised 10%. 15,000 pesos is a lot. Okay, and we don't need to cover the whole thing, but maybe the Lord can, we can think about it as a church, how we can actually give. Okay, so this is one way as a church we can give to the mission. I mean, if 50 people want to come to church, what's $5,000? $5,000 versus an eternity in heaven for one person. That's something we need to think about as well. Okay, they helped Paul. They supported Paul. Okay, point number four. In Romans 16, verse 3, let's turn there. Paul actually acknowledged this. If you read the article I wrote I've actually mentioned Priscilla and Aquila many weeks ago. In Romans 16, verse 3, Paul, in his farewell salutations, actually mentioned Priscilla and Aquila, and he named them, okay? Let's read together Romans 16, verse 3. Ready? 1, 2, go. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Okay, the word helpers means to walk alongside, strive together, doing the same work. Point number four, in helpers to them, they help Paul in his work as fellow Christian workers. Okay, the point we need to learn to commit ourselves to the ministry and the servant of God. You know, many times the preachers of many countries, in the persecuted countries especially, the church members will protect their preachers with their lives. And they have oftentimes risk jail and say, get out, go and get the preachers to run away. And they themselves take the rap for preachers so that preachers can continue to preach the gospel until, of course, the preachers get caught. Okay? In fact, the next one, that's what happens. Okay? I'll just finish this point. Paul needed strong, loyal workers to support him in starting churches. Okay? We need to help those who go out to start churches. We need to help the church themselves. Okay, each church needs loyal, committed fellow workers to get church going. Okay? So it's important, remember, when Jesus instituted the church, it's not for fun. Church today has second, third, fourth, fifth priority. Everything else goes on top. But did you know that Jesus Christ said in Acts chapter 20, he gave his life for the church. He paid for the church with his blood. And so that's why I think as Christians we need to elevate that a little bit. Lord, if you died for the church, you gave your life for it, Lord, what is important to you, you are my Lord, needs to be important to me. Does it make sense? And so, we may not be in full time, but we certainly can do some things to help the local church. All right. So here, Priscilla and Aquila will help us. But more than that, in Romans 16, verse 4, if you look down, Paul went on, who have for my life laid down their own necks. What does laid down your own necks mean? Romans chapter 16, verse 4. What does laid down your necks mean? Putting your neck at the chopping board. What does it mean? What does it mean? You know what? What does laying down your necks for someone else mean? Willing to sacrifice. Literally willing to die. Okay, when Paul says willing to lay down their necks, literally he was saying, Priscilla and Aquila, because they kept me with them and I'm a wanted man, they are literally risking their lives. That's why they were very dear to Paul. Paul knew that these Christians, these two people, not called of God, not ordained, not appointed, they're not paid for this. But their sure love for God, the ministry, and the servant of God led them to do things that you say, only full-time people do that. No. Common Christians in the first century actually loved God so much that they were willing to give their life for a fellow servant of Christ. Okay? So the word lay down their necks. So the point is they laid down their necks for his life. And we need to be, are we ready to lay down our necks for the ministry, let alone the minister? Will we be willing, prejudices aside, will we be willing before God to say that I'm willing to lay down my life for each other? Can I say this, in Ambassador? This is the measure. Because it's a biblical measure. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. If we're not willing to sacrifice for a Christian brother in Ambassador, we don't have to talk about anything else. Because that love is not perfect. Of course, we need to grow in that. We need to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help us in that. Okay? They took Paul into their house to protect him from the Jews who were persecuting him. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. The reason why I want this other passage is to show us that it's not the full-time people who were giving up their lives for the ministry during the time of the first century church. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Philippians 2, verse 25. The Bible says in verse 25, 26, 27, I'll just read, just listen. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, by your messengers, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that he heard that he was been sick. So Epaphroditus was someone that Paul sent. Okay? And he was very concerned because, he was not concerned for himself, he was concerned for the church, because the church heard that he was sick. And he knew how much the church loved him. So he didn't want the church to know that he was sick. Does it make sense? Then in verse 27, note, for indeed he was nigh unto death. He was going to die. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Notice Epaphroditus' job was just to minister to the servant of God. And he was near death as he was doing that. Okay, medical treatment may not be freely accessible. And of course, you know, during those past diseases and stuff like that, fatigue and they have no vitamin C, I think. They may eat lemons and fruits, but, you know, they are sick. But this servant of Christ is not in full time, and yet he is willing to. The love for God, his people, and the ministry was so great. Their lives was not important to them. Wow. Think about that for a while. For us, our health is one of the number one things. But you know, if you read the Christians of old, it was Spurgeon who says, there was one time, I think it was a secretary, who said, Mr. Spurgeon, I think you need to take care of your health. You know what Spurgeon said? Yeah, or else your health will be broken. I'm not saying don't take care of your health, okay? But I'm saying the attitude with regards to ourselves. And this particular secretary told Spurgeon, you only have one. Oh, you know, you need to, don't break it. You know what Spurgeon said? You have 10 health, I will break all 10 in the service of Christ. Don't misunderstand me. We need to take care of our health. But the attitude that Spurgeon had, an attitude of service, was such that if I need to serve Christ, and I'm going to choose between serving Christ and my health, forget my health, I'll serve Christ if there's a need. Okay, does that make sense? Right? It's something that we, you know, as Christians in modern day Christianity, I'm not too sure how the Holy Spirit is going to help us understand this truth. That the service to Christ in our hearts ought to be top priority. How we can actually live our lives to honor Him, okay? So they were willing to lay down their life, and they were not in full time, they were common Christians. Okay, they were just common Christians. Okay, point number 6, Romans chapter 16, verse 4. Who have for my life laid out their own necks, unto whom not only I gave thanks, okay, Paul was grateful, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Okay, their support of Paul had helped Paul start many churches. Okay, notice point, Priscilla and Aquila did not actually later on they did. Because of their sacrifices, the churches of the Gentiles were thankful. You know why? Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, okay? Peter was an apostle to the Jews. So when Aquila and Priscilla, who actually protected Paul, causing Paul to be able to share the gospel and start many churches in the Gentiles areas, you know what? Even the Gentile people were so thankful, okay? So their support of Paul actually helped Paul start many churches, okay? How do we help in the ministry? We can help by doing what we believe we need to do in order to further the work of God. That's why sometimes we pray, Lord, may this money be used for the furtherance of your work. Not just the money, okay? The money is only money. We need people to do the work so that the work can be increased, okay? Many people were blessed by Priscilla and Aquila, and all the churches that Paul planted felt a debt of gratitude to Priscilla and Aquila for saving the life of the one who led them to Christ. Does that make sense? You see the connection there? I read again. All the churches that Paul planted felt a debt of gratitude to Priscilla and Aquila for saving the life of the one who led them to Christ. You know, there are many missionaries and pastors, both locally and internationally, are leaving the field because they are not supported. And they almost have to beg for support because they need to do the work. We need to be sensitive to that. Okay? In Romans chapter 16, verse 5, the next point, and this is just in Romans 16, verse 5, likewise greet the church. The word church means ecclesia, assembly. Greet the assembly that's in their house. What's the point? They allowed their house to be used for the ministry of God's work. We need to be willing to use our house, our materials and things for the work of God. Would that make sense? Are we willing to use our house for God's work? We use it before, and yeah, and you know, you may have to change your toilet flushing system because people will come and it's prayer. But you know, are we willing to use our house for the work of God? Because let's look at another verse in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. And you can just jot down and just read. Paul said, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that's in their house. Apparently, Priscilla and Aquila had an assembly in their house. They used their house for things, for the ministry. In other words, it could be weekly. They actually had these people. They allowed their house to be used for the ministry of God's work. That's point number 7 if you're looking at that. They allowed their house to be used. Are we willing to use our house for the ministry of God? Okay? And please realize our houses are just tents that God allow us to hide in the storms and all that, that we come back and rest. But the things that we have all literally belongs to God. I think we all know that. But are we willing to say, Lord, my house belongs to you. If there's a need for anything, the local church, Lord, I'll be open to that. Are we willing to allow that to happen? Are we willing to allow our things to be used for the service of Christ? And here, Peter and Priscilla use their own house, okay? And how sometimes, you know, one thing about using our own houses, It's not private things. It's an invasion of privacy. Let me just read that, what I have here. Priscilla and Aquila knew that it was like, what it was like not to have a church building of their own. They don't mind the loss of privacy to provide a place for the new church to meet in. And by the way, if you use your own house, you lose privacy, you lose some of the things that things may break and all that. But are we willing to say, even if it breaks, that's okay, I'll take that as my service to Christ. Because things don't belong to us. And Christians, especially in modern day Singapore, we need to understand this. Because if our love for Christ, if our love for things cannot be overcome by our love for Christ, something wrong with our love for Christ. Does that make sense? And that's something that we need. That's why we get so inspired by Christians who give up all, right? Actually, I mentioned this before. If you do something for someone who is of a high standing, like a president or that would be a privilege. It was David Livingstone who said this. He says, if serving a president would be a privilege, why is serving the King of Kings a sacrifice? It should be a higher privilege. That God, you take what I have. Aquila and Priscilla were willing to go all the way and give up things for the Lord so that the work of God. And I believe Paul was able to evangelize a known world because their Christian workers who were willing to do that. Paul was not alone. He had many workers who were willing to sacrifice things so that things can go. And you know what? Literally, thousands of people got saved through the ministry of Paul. But Paul always acknowledged those people along the way who helped him. Priscilla and Aquila, one of them. We may not be able to save the world, but you know what? We can reach one person. We can reach one area. We can reach a group of children. We can reach some delinquents. We can reach some people. Okay? So they use their own house. Okay, the last point, and this is important for us, in Acts, let's turn to Acts chapter 18, verse 24 and 25. Or 84 to 28, actually. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus, kind of like an evangelist kind of thing. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. In other words, he was full on, he was zealous to serve God, but he had a problem. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. In other words, he was not instructed in the new covenant. He only knew the baptism of John. Okay? In verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. So in other words, Aquila and Priscilla was in the synagogue, they heard this Apollos preaching, and they were very impressed, but then they realized, hey, there's something wrong with his preaching. He's only talking about John the Baptist. He's not referring to Christ. But rather than condemn the preacher, what did they do? Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him unto them. They said, Apollos, can we go for lunch, you know? And they began to, the Bible says, expounded unto them the way of God more perfectly. Or there will be a day when members take the pastor aside and say, Pastor, let me just tell you what you need to learn. But you know what it means? It means Apollo, Priscilla and Aquila knew the word of God. Of course they do. They have Paul beside them. Are we learning the word of God? Maybe just step aside. Are we learning the word of God? Are we knowing the word of God? Are we understanding the word of God? And are we obeying the word of God with a right spirit? You know, look like the life of a prison Aquila, they were doing all that. Right? They were learning, they were knowing, they were understanding, and they were obeying. Okay? You know, Christians, all of us need to go through their four steps. And I'm sure many of us are filled with the scriptures, and that's one thing we want Ambassador Baptist to. Because God says He judges us according to this word. So it behooves us to know this word very well. But knowing is one thing. Obeying with a cheerful heart, with no questions before the Lord, is another thing. And that's where we need to work towards. But Priscilla and Aquila were so sharp in their Christian life. And after the 7 points, you realize that they have been living and obeying God's word as well, and wanting it to go out. And when they saw a preacher who was, he only knows little bit, come Apollos, let's have lunch together. And guess what happened in verse 26? They took him unto them, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive Apollos, okay? Who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For Apollos mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So he wasn't just John the Baptist now. But guess what? Priscilla and Aquila's name is no longer there in the passage. No longer there. But guess what? Their life came out of Apollos' preaching now. Amen? It was the influence of a member who loved God with all their heart, who was willing to take someone aside to teach and enhance the ministry of this particular person. Okay, the last point is this. They recognize Apollos as having potential. And we need to disciple people for the glory of God. You disciple, can you imagine if now you are teaching chapel, maybe when you are about 50 years old, and a 30-year-old or 35-year-old boy came up, hey, it's like listen, right? You teach chapel on this day, right? And then you ask him, yeah, who are you? Because you got all stubbies and all that. No, I'm serving God in this particular church. And to look back that years ago you invested an hour or spending time, maybe I cannot teach, I don't know how to teach, you know. And these children are so naughty, I cannot handle them. But then 20 years later, you see someone who then look back, it was because today, listen to what you said, how much God loved me, it changed my life. You never know when children will listen. In fact, children listen all the time. All the time. And the things that are coming out right now, even in the Sunday school and all that kind of thing, and the investment in the Lens program, you know, my challenge to my own son is that 20 years from now, if they are walking with Christ, they will never forget your ministry. They will never forget the house they were in. Chacha and auntie was willing to open. You know, Christians, these are the small things that sometimes... Because we don't see the reward straight away, we don't, after a while, it's not working. Many people have given up tracting in Singapore, going house to house. Many people have given up that. Why? We don't see results. And they say, and they go by research and things like this. Jesus just commanded us to go 2x2 to the houses. And you know, some of the people here, because of just evangelizing. And you know, your heart will be broken when you look at some of the people in the houses. Some of the things that they have to go through. And I have had people who say, Pastor, can I take our number? Because I have this neighbor whose husband is in hospital and mom is just trying to make things, man, with the three children and they're very quiet. Things like this. We may not win the world, but you know what? If God can use ambassador as an influence in the community, Christianity is not in this room now. Christianity is outside. Do you understand that? The work of the church is in the streets of the world, not in the church. When we come to church and serve, that's our responsibility. But when we go out there and serve, that's our love. That God, I'm not going to keep my Christianity to myself. My parents, my loved ones, the people on the street, after when children come down, if you really interact with the children, do you realize sometimes I'm not going to allow... It's sad that sometimes we see children from a perspective of the world. Don't. Every child has the potential to serve God. They just need a coach to guide them the right way. So what if they come with broken clothing? So what if they may be foul mouth? Can I tell you George Mueller was a foul mouth person? Can I tell you John Bunyan was foul mouth? He was involved. He was bad, but I mean, touched by the grace of God. God used John Bunyan and George Mueller for His glory. Thousands got blessed. Paul was a murderer of Christians. When God touched him, thousands of people got converted. But Brother Johnny, I'm not going to be so great. God may not call all of us to greatness, but God did call all of us to service to Christ. If you can do one thing, can I say this? If your parents come to Christ, and that's your life would have been well spent. Amen? Oh, Christian, have the heart. Coming back to Priscilla and Aquila, they recognize Apollos as having potential. All those who are older in the faith, do you see some people as potential to serve Christ next time? That we are willing to invest? I can tell you, for my own life, there were people who took me aside. They were just Christians who were concerned, you know, they just took me in and they were willing to invest time, ask me out for dinner, talk to me about things, and just kind of speak. And I very informally. But you know what? It was through their encouragement. We grow in Christ. Okay? About Priscilla and Aquila, disciple Apollos to become a faithful man and greatly eloquent preacher, so that he mightily convinced others to trust Christ and to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay? Let us see people not as they are. Can I encourage this attitude, Ambassador? Let us not see children or adults as they are, but see them as what they should be for Christ. Does it make sense? Seeing the potential of the person. You know, when I first taught the course before we actually started the mission here, one of the things we learned, Jesus took 12 proud, temperamental, impulsive, think only of themselves, apostles, and changed them into a fighting force that changed the world. Amen? And that's what, as Christians, we need to be able to understand. They may be young, they may be unlearned, they may be all over the place. That guy in trouble again. But you know, every one of us, we need to be able, by the love of Christ and His grace, to think, if God changed me, He can change someone else. If God took my heart and changed me into His likeness and helped me to walk His way, yeah, I still falter. God can take someone else's life and change, because God specializes in miracles. And Aquila and Priscilla saw, Apollos is a mighty preacher. He only knew the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla could have said, well, he's a preacher, maybe it's not he probably knows more than me, so who am I? No, they were concerned for the ministry. They were incisive, they were very clear why they had to talk to him. And thank God Apollos had the spirit of Christ, meekness. He was willing to be instructed, and he became more mighty in his work. Christians, we need to see. You realize every teenager is a potential in our church. Every teenager. Teenagers, you are the future. Not just of Ambassador, of the Christianity in Singapore. How you live your life will determine. If you live for the world, then the Christianity will just get more diluted. If you live for Christ, somewhere in Singapore, there's someone who's willing to say, I'm going to stand for what God says, I'm going to stand for what Jesus stands for. You know, yeah, you have your careers, but you don't remember, always put Christ before your career, because Christ gave you a career anyway. Okay? We need to be able to see the potential in each one. Yeah, we fall. How many of you have never fallen in your Christian life? Put up your hand. Okay. No, not me. I've fallen, you've fallen, every one of us has fallen. But after we've fallen, what do we do? We need to get up and run. Okay, we need to get up and run. But I know sometimes people fall so badly that they hurt their knees and they cannot run anymore. So how? Then someone else has to go by the side and pull them up and help them to go. Okay? That's where discipleship comes in. That's where, as Christians, we are helpers on the road. We live our life, we will be personally accountable to Christ for our Christian life. But you know what? Every Christian needs someone else to help them, including me. Everyone. Everyone. As pastor, there are certain things I can't share. I do speak to pastors overseas, email them, they guide me along. Everyone needs someone else to help their Christian life. And Christians, may an ambassador, we will not be ashamed to be able to share with someone who can we trust, so that we can grow. Okay, I think the message here is, let's get involved with each other's lives. Let's get involved. And Christians, let's allow people to be involved. Yes, you'll see more dirt. You know, for those families and Christians which were willing to allow that to see, but you know what? The love of Christ ought to get stronger. Amen? The more you see, the more, oh, never mind, I still love. You know, you grow. And then you get past that. Seeing the dirt anymore, but seeing the glory. Seeing the glory of Christ, the image of Christ being slowly transformed into that person. Okay? Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. We'll close there. I think many of us will know this passage. Any questions up to there? Any questions? Hopefully it's a challenge to our soul. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. I preach this many times, I go for mission conferences, but this is actually, look at verse 35 first. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among you. Okay, maybe for some participation, interaction. When you read this verse, what comes to your mind about the ministry of Christ? What are some adjectives, for some words that would describe the ministry of Christ in verse 35? Anyone? Just throw out some words, some adjectives, some descriptive words. Anyone? How would you describe the ministry of Christ from verse 35? Okay, Jesus was very busy. Okay, why do you say so? Why do you say he was very busy? He was doing other things, he was teaching, he was healing, he was preaching. Okay? Anyone else? Any other adjectives? Very busy, what else? Okay, he was a public ministry, he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. Okay? Public, everyone knows that. What else? Any other adjectives? One of the things that came to my mind when I actually read this, when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, he didn't have bicycles. He didn't have Air Asia. He didn't have MRT. He didn't have PA5118S van. He didn't have, either he went on donkeys, or he went on bus number 11. He walked and walked and walked. And if you know the geography of Israel, their roads aren't exactly paved very well, okay? And so he was very busy. He was teaching. He was preaching. Teaching and preaching is the focus on his ministry. He was healing. Oh, Brother Johnny, we don't do healing today. Yes, we do. What do you mean? Physical healing? No. Do you realize when you get someone out of sin, you heal them? When you introduce Christ as a great physician to heal them of their sin, you heal them. When you have helped a family come back together, when you have done an act of kindness to someone, you brought some healing, if I use the word in the general terms. Does that make sense? So Jesus was doing this, he was doing good deeds. The Bible says he went everywhere doing good, Acts chapter 10, I believe. Jesus went everywhere doing good. And when you do good to someone, you actually help someone. Alright? So Jesus was teaching, he was preaching, he was teaching the word of God, he was preaching to get people saved, and he was doing good, okay? You know, this ought to characterize our own ministry. But in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. When he visually saw, in other words, he was doing. Occasionally, he looked out, and when he saw the multitudes, he saw the people that came, his heart was moved. Christians, when they're at the food court, maybe sometimes I do that occasionally for myself. You just lift up your eyes to the food court. What move in your... Does anything move in your heart? I'm thankful that sometimes when you see some people, they are Christians. But what about the others who are not? And you know, every time I'm sure many of us do so also when you know, the cleaner who comes to take the... I'm sure you say thank you and all that. You realize, if you actually know some of them, they will tell you, they will show you their life of misery and difficulties and the fact they still have to work for $5. This uncle that we know at the chicken rice store, and he still remembers, hey, Chabi, he will tell us $5 an hour and just, you know, old and frail. You know, it's like, there's this lady who is like, you know, in Ang Mo Kio, the hawker center, and she was like half bent and she was pulling the trolley. I don't know about you as a Christian. The compassion of Christ, the word compassion means you feel so much that you have to do something about it. But Jesus knew at that time, he said, what did he say? He had compassion on them. He was moved with compassion on them. His eyes affected his heart. Because why they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, then saith he unto his disciples. Jesus then turned to his disciples and said, I want you to go and minister to them. No, Jesus says, I want you to start praying. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We have 45 children coming, some of them not saved, some of them from broken background. Would someone care enough? I know all of us are busy. Some of us who can. Would we be there to say, well, Lord, give me one child I can sit down, maybe during refreshment time, and just maybe hug them or do something with them so that I can share something of the love of Christ. Or maybe, I think Brother Chai Hing will also know that, I think after there'll be a meeting later on, that when he gave an invitation, will we be there to, or some of us who can, to say, Lord, help me to be there so that when invitation time, I'll be willing to at least, you know, you don't have much, you don't need much. You just need to teach this to the children. The gospel is all in here. Okay? And so, Jesus said, he was moved and he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. You know, the laborers are still few. Laborers are still few. And I was talking to someone yesterday about some things that happen in independent Baptist churches in Singapore. Many pastors are leaving. By the grace of God, I won't. Because we need a standard that Christ is worth our service. And you know what? When someone is trying to win souls for Christ, we need the entire church behind that, doing different things so that things can... I'm thankful. Later on, I'm sure in the meeting upstairs, there will be many, many people there. Some doing this, some doing that. You know, realize we're all towards one goal. By God's grace, even if one child come to Christ, everyone involved, from the bus person to the one who called, to the one who served refreshment, to the one who even just pat the child on the head and say, thank God that you are here. Every single one of them, God says, well done. Well done, guys. You guys work as one unit. All of us be rewarded. You know, that's the hope we have. Jesus will never shortchange us. Amen. And by the way, he will never run out of rewards. But you know what? It's us that need to realize that we need to be in there for the cause of Christ. And Jesus says in verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye. For those who really cannot come, can I encourage you? Pray where you are. It's 9:30 to 12:30. Pray for the safety of the bus. Pray the bus don't break down. It's happened before. Okay, pray that the driver will be kind. Pray for the Brother Chai who will be preaching. Pray for the children's workers. Pray for everyone who serve, people who serve. Pray that everyone, God, pray that the love of Christ will overwhelm the whole activity. That the children, they may enjoy themselves, but they go back remembering Jesus loves them. And he was told that there are many unsafe children coming, okay, and one of them, I was told, lost the mom and the little baby sister. What happened, I don't know. But you know, he's K2. Now he has only the dad around. Dad has to work, so it was a neighbor who's not a Christian who invited him to come. So a non-Christian neighbor invited. I don't know about you, but that's God, amen? That's God. That's God. And Christians, we need to be there. You know, one thing I want to encourage us, if God gives us, we need to be responsible and accountable. God, help us to at least do something with these lives, all right? So any questions? So as we close, would we like Priscilla and Aquila in these ways? Christians, all of us can do something for Christ, amen? Even if it's just a kind word, in the name of Christ, say, I'm a Christian, my friend is hurting, hey, I'll be praying for you, or something, how are you? Don't just be a friend, but you know, in your mind, Lord, I want you to use me to help this brother or this sister or my family. Okay, will we be like Priscilla and Aquila? Will you support the work of God? Let us be a blessing to each other as Priscilla and Aquila was, and then God will multiply when he sees our unity, all right? Any questions? Anything to add or... Anyone, any comments? So now let's say a word of prayer, right? We have about 25 minutes for fellowship and stuff. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I pray, Father, that this Sunday Bible hour, we will remember the things that, not so much what Johnny has said, but what the Holy Spirit is saying in our hearts. Lord, you saved us to serve you. Our lives are to be a glory to your name. And Lord, thank you for the comfort. Thank you for our jobs. Thank you for the careers that you put us in. Thank you for life and health. Thank you, Father, for knowing every evening when we go home, we can take a shower, rest in bed. Thank you for the conversation we can have with our loved ones. Thank you for the time we can just relax and just be with family. Thank you for the fellowship and prayer we can have in church. Thank you for the, Lord, the things that you, thank you for the dollars in our wallets. Thank you for glasses that we can see. Thank you, Lord, for a clear mind that we can even read and think and make decisions for you. Thank you, Father, that we are so grateful that, Lord, some of the people we know don't have this privilege. Some can't walk. Some can't see. Some can't think straight because of certain things. They're going through certain syndromes or some diagnosis in their life. Some of the children, Father, disadvantaged by family. But Lord, we thank you for your blessings to us. God, you have given us comfort in our trials. You have given us strength in our tiredness. You have given us words of wisdom for our confusion. And you have given counsel in our indiscretion or indecision sometimes. But Lord, help us to realize that even as we grow, when we start to grow, you want us to use what you have given to us for someone else. Lord, on behalf of Ambassador, we pray you give us a heart of love for you above all. A heart that will say, Lord, thank you for what you have done for me at the cross. And God, whatever I think is not important anymore but what you think. Whatever I feel is not important anymore but what you feel. Whatever you say is more important, not what I say. Things may happen in my life that I feel is unfortunate, but Lord, in you, everything will be made right. Help us, Lord, to use our lives in the service of a great God who not only gave his grace to us, but wants us to be used as instruments of your grace. Lord, every word in the Bible points to us what we need to do to obey you. It's not only for our own spiritual growth, but for someone else to come to Christ too. Lord, I pray for every Christian here. I believe, Lord, all of us want to do the right thing. And Lord, you are our Heavenly Father. Take us gently, take us tenderly, and teach us, instruct us through the Holy Spirit specifically, Lord, in the places that we are, how we are to be that influence, the salt and the light and the peace in that place. And we pray, Lord, for all our loved ones, that, Lord, they will be the first one to see the change as you begin to work in our lives. Thank you for the grace that you've so freely given to us. But God, we ask you for strength that we might obey your grace, that we might obey your instructions in thy word, and that, Father, our lives will change to the glory of God. And through our light and our life, someone else may come to Christ. Thank you, Lord. I pray you bless every listener to this prayer, every heart, every listener to the word of God this morning and afterwards during the service. And I pray that your will be accomplished and the glory of Christ will be exalted. We thank you. Bless the time of fellowship we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.